All views, opinions, and comments expressed herein are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of StoneX Group Incorporated and or its subsidiaries. This content does not constitute an offer or solicitation to open a trading account, to trade in any specific product, or to engage with any services provided by StoneX Group Incorporated or its subsidiaries. This content is not intended for residents of any particular country or jurisdictions where such content is prohibited.
Welcome to the Trading Global Macro Podcast from StoneX, where we unpack the complex forces driving global financial markets. I'm John Kicklider, Global Head of Content at StoneX.
And I'm Matt Weller, Global Head of Market Research for StoneX's self-directed brands. Each week in this podcast, we explore the macroeconomic trends and geopolitical events shaping Forex, equities, commodities, interest rates, and more. We're back after a hiatus. For those of you trying to watch the video, you might notice we're merely sharing screens due to some camera setbacks, but we wanted to be here for you guys to discuss an interesting topic. So over to you, John. What is our topic today?
Probably one of my favorite topics through my career and through my trading, and that is risk appetite. So risk appetite is something that's probably very familiar to every level of trader, whether you're professional and you deal with it on a constant basis as a undercurrent of establishing your setups or your overall strategy and approach to the markets, or you are a self-directed individual trader and you're trying to understand the workings of the markets and the weird things that are happening to your trades that frustrate you, I'm sure, to no end. Very often, there is a element of risk on, risk off. That is influencing that market. And when it does, it can be an overwhelming, overriding driver relative to things that we would otherwise think very important, like technical analysis. When we see a chart pattern, like you see here on the S&P 500, or look at any chart, very oftentimes the unexpected happens and you can't tell why. There's no rhyme or reason. Or the fundamental trader. Oftentimes we look at the macro picture and we see this theme like AI on the bullish side or the US-Iran conflict, those are two big ones now on the bearish side right now, are not generating the kind of movement and not just direction, but tempo that we would expect. What is that determining factor? That it is often risk appetite. It is often a underlying influence. I consider it to be of a higher order of importance than fundamentals or even scheduled event risk. It can shape and distort their ability to actually move the market, those events or those themes. Sentiment is just the wisdom of the crowd or the fragility of the crowd. I've seen it. It's often considered the crowd. Actually, very important in establishing risk trends is to also appreciate that there are different names associated to it. So I think terminology is an important one to understand when you get into anything new. When it comes to risk appetite, it's also referred to as risk trends or risk on, risk off. That's a really popular one amongst the retail crowd. Sentiment is a frequent one that you see in the financial headlines, and animal spirits is one of the more old hat sayings that references the same thing. It's generally a perspective of the overall market's view. And when I say the overall market's view, each person can have their own individual perspective. It is risk on or it is risk off. There is reason to be frightened or there is reason to be enthusiastic. But what we're talking about here is more reflection on the broader sentiment across the entire market. So there's no way you're going to be able to solicit an opinion from everybody that's participating in the market, sorry to say, much less to rank in order their priority. It's whether it's this scheduled event that crossed the wires or this theme that is transpiring, or if it's pure, raw, unadulterated risk on, risk off. It can be difficult to measure. And I think that's going to be what we focus a lot of our conversation on today is the measurement. But before we get into that, it's important to really understand that sentiment and risk on and animal spirits, these are essentially the same thing. And it is touching upon a genuinely important underlying aspect of the markets. And I think that we need to be mindful of that. What would you add to that, Matt? That big picture appreciation of risk on or risk off or risk appetite?
Yeah, it's a very important topic. I'll start by reemphasizing that. I have a definition written down here that risk appetite refers to the market's willingness to take on risk for return. Of course, that is the fundamental basis of markets. But if you've been around a couple cycles or even just reading about history, you know that willingness to take on risk waxes and wanes over time due to a variety of factors. And maybe an analogy to tie it together, it's sort of like the tide, right? Where if the tide's coming in, generally everything on top of the water is flowing inland. And conversely, when the tide's coming out, you're fighting the current, as it were, if you're trying to move up or move inland, I suppose. So it's important to have a broad perspective on risk appetite. I know me and you sometimes joke, John, that it's just look at the S&P 500 and you know if there's risk sentiment is up or if people have a high risk appetite. And that's kind of a simplification. And I think that'll come throughout today's conversation, is that it's something you want to look at across different markets. And in so doing, try to filter out some of the individual factors that could be impacting just one market, but don't reflect broadly on risk appetite across the spectrum, across different investments. It's when you can find those moments when everyone's risk on, regardless of the reason, that you can really identify some strong market trends and hopefully take advantage of them. But you don't want to assume you're in that environment just because you're only closely watching one indicator. So what would you add to that, John?
I hit the nail on the head. I think it's important to really align what you are seeing with the commitment, a true commitment of risk on, risk off, and not just a particular abrupt move, even if it's a market that tends to align to sentiment. So it is very worthwhile, I think, to approach any kind of market that you are trading and to see if it has any innate orientation. So sharing here, a risk spectrum and asset alignment, and there's some controversy in this one because gold has kind of deviated from its historical norm as a safe haven. But in general, we can align, you know, currencies like the U.S. dollar is a more of a safe haven currency. Japanese yen also considered a safe haven currency, and there are more risk-oriented currencies, whether they're emerging market currencies or the Australian dollar, New Zealand dollar, both qualify, but also broader asset classes. You have the treasuries, which are the consummate safe haven. Gold also, generally speaking, is a safe haven. But then you have equities, and the S&P 500 is a benchmark, so I like to use that as kind of my go-to as an indication of equities or indices. It's more on the risk side, and it makes sense because people, when things are calm and positive, people would want to invest in something with a higher yield, or also a greater propensity for capital gains, so alpha. And that's something like the S&P 500 or high yield fixed income, emerging market assets. Those are things that people tend to orient towards when they think that conditions are good and they want to maximize their return. But if conditions are poor, they want to go towards absolute safety. And the more intense that risk aversion is or fear, that is where you're absolutely going for liquidity first and foremost. So you bypass your selectivity of what's relatively safer than another thing. So I think it's very important to see that your particular market, whatever you happen to be trading, is to see if there's an alignment. But to your point, you also want to see the relationship that these assets have to each other, whether it's and looking at the correlation. Now, you can do it on a two asset basis. So if there are two safe havens, the yen and the dollar, for FX traders, you know that dollar yen is a controversial pair. But if you're looking at both the Japanese yen and the US dollar against a third currency, to see if they are moving in tandem, that correlation can be a sign or indication that risk is at play. They both rise as risk aversion kicks in, or they both fall as risk aversion kicks in. Now, it might be just something else that has happenstance, but it is a higher probability that it's risk orientation. The more markets that you look to align to this established relationship, the greater the probability that it is sentiment, that is that risk appetite or risk on, risk off, that is moving that markets. And the reason you want to see if that is the case is because it is more primal in terms of the influence rather than, you know, is what's the rate of growth going forward for an economy, or how long will the impact of a Fed rate hike have influence on it, on the relative markets. Sentiment can be driven by almost any matter of influence, and it doesn't have to have a catalyst at all. It could just be the exposure of just a common sentiment, and it can continue to run and can carry and spread across all the markets and last much longer than we think is feasible or reasonable. So looking for a genuine risk orientation is very, very important, and very much a skill of just recognition. So in an ideal world, you're going to want to see the orientation of this across the board. So the more assets that are aligned to sentiment, the stronger that we have an indication. So in the visual that I'm showing, this is a spectrum of the sensitivity of the markets to risk trends, and how profound it is towards risk aversion. Obviously, this works on the opposite end of the spectrum as well. So risk on, the more correlated, the broader the correlation, the stronger it is an indication that sentiment is in fact leading the way, but also the more momentum you're likely to get, the more carry through or follow through, and it will materially alter the relationship or reaction to other themes or other event risks. So we want to see the level of intensity of that move. This is another way of seeing it for those watching the video. The more intense risk trends tend to be, the more of an overriding force it has on other things that can move the markets, whether they be fundamental or technical. Okay. I know this can be kind of difficult for people, especially newer traders, to grasp. So following the spectrum of correlation, is there anything that you'd add to make this perhaps a little bit more accessible, Matt?
I don't know if it makes it more accessible, but I just elaborate on that by saying essentially what you're talking around here is looking for a correlation between these different measures. If you just have a one-off market, that could be due to something more idiosyncratic. But if you're seeing a correlation between high risk appetite currency, like the Australian dollar outperforming the yen or something that's seen as more of a safe haven, but you're also seeing in the commodity space, copper outperforming gold. If you're seeing tech stocks outperform staples, and you're simultaneously seeing high yield bonds outperform treasuries, it's looking for that correlation between among those members, and then you're also looking for broad breadth among them to really identify that risk appetite. And I can't emphasize enough that this, in certain environments, can absolutely trump the best fundamental, the best technical analysis, because again, it's just that tide that you can't fight that can overwhelm some of the more traditional measures of analysis. So I think it's a very important topic to understand. You could argue that this could have been one of our first ever podcast episodes, because it sort of underlies both mine and your market philosophies. And it's something that we go back and forth on most days and at least every single week. So that's some of the high level thoughts that I had. And then maybe we can transition it to be a bit more practical application, unless you have something else to add there, John.
I would just say that it can be quite difficult to find a multivariate correlation, so a matrix of correlation. So how is the S&P 500 aligning to the dollar as a safe haven, treasuries as a safe haven, oil or commodities as kind of a risk orientation, gold as a haven, Bitcoin as a risk asset? So the more that you tack on and the more that you demonstrate an alignment to those to this particular theme, the more likely it is this theme. So you're not going to find that these markets that move on very different fundamental schema and have their own technicals, they're not going to necessarily align, especially for an extended period of time, on a singular influence unless it is ultimately sentiment, ultimately risk on, risk off. And risk on, risk off can be neutral. So when it does turn neutral, these individual markets will move on to whatever fundamentally is most relevant then. It could be earnings, it can be a yield progression, it can be IPOs, and obviously that's a lot of equities, but it will transition. So first, knowing the level of influence and commitment to risk trends is important, but do be mindful. It doesn't always have to be actively oriented towards strong risk appetite or strong risk aversion. It can be a very middling influence upon which, again, your traditional fundamentals, your event risk, your technical patterns will become much more relevant and more likely to be directing the market. So I just emphasize that. So it can be difficult to see the correlation across all these assets. It's not something that is particularly easy. We tried to make a couple of things that help with this. I've tried to incorporate in my analysis. I know you incorporate in your analysis, where you just tell them this looks like a strong risk on, risk off theme. But if you're really so inclined, you can try to pull the correlations of these assets and really reinforce in your mind or in your practice that this is evidence of it. If not, we try to provide kind of a default insight that says this is the theme. So I'll just say that. But you're right. Let's make this a little bit more practical outside of multivariate correlations. We can look at specific setups. You mentioned the S&P 500 relative to treasuries. So S&P 500 is the traditional portfolio benchmark for a risk-on orientation. So you're looking to collect yield and capital gains. And treasuries are the ultimate safe haven. So theoretically, they should be moving generally in opposite directions if there is a strong risk orientation. Would you point out any other markets that are traditionally lined up, whether they are on the opposite ends of the spectrum or on the same end of the spectrum, to get an alignment?
I like the way that you pulled kind of two different markets, fixed income seen as more safe, broadly speaking, something that doesn't align with high risk appetite. And then the S&P 500, you could go even further out in the risk spectrum to the NASDAQ or something that is very clearly. What I like to do is sort of look within the asset class, and I touched on these briefly already, but you could compare cyclical sector versus staples, tech stocks versus defensive stocks, things like that within equities. And I'd look across four markets. I'll try to put a graphic together that I'll include on the article here on StoneX Thought Leadership. So maybe some of you guys are watching this there. But within fixed income, you could look at the performance of high yield bonds that are seen as lower credit quality compared to more conservative credits, like the U.S. Treasury as an extreme example, or a less extreme example, investment grade. In commodities, you could look at some of the industrial commodities that are more correlated with the economic cycle. So things like copper relative to safe havens, weird environment right now, but gold would be a kind of a classic example there. I know there was a famous study done by the CMT Association that looked at the relationship between lumber and gold and used that as a leading indicator for the S&P 500. Even though they're not directly related, if there's more demand for lumber, that indicates an increasing housing cycle. Some have argued that the housing cycle is the economic cycle. And then I, of course, don't want to fail to mention the fourth major market I'd be looking at would be the FX market. This has permeated some of John's graphics throughout this conversation here. But looking at the performance of some of those historically higher yielding currencies, sometimes in the emerging markets, sometimes just in the more correlated to global growth countries like Australia, New Zealand, maybe Canada, compared to things like the Swiss franc or the US dollar or the Japanese yen, that are seen as more safe havens. So I think by taking out the asset class and just looking at the performance of different tranches within that asset class, you might be able to get a clearer read on risk appetite. And especially if you look at that across asset classes, it can kind of filter out some of those specifics that you were alluding to earlier, where stocks as a whole might be out of favor. So looking at stocks versus treasuries might not be saying there's risk off, rather that people just don't want equities. So that's kind of the way I would seek to apply it and measure risk appetite in my own trading.
Well said. Yeah, this is something that I think people will get increasingly familiar with. A lot of professionals end up having a sixth sense of these things, just like we can. I mean, if you do technical analysis long enough, I know when we're going to be in an overbought or oversold measure. I don't have to look at oscillators. Mm-hmm. At that point. I've been around long enough that I know these are the circumstances and this is what we usually see in price action. The same happens in terms of sentiment. And you can measure it different ways. You can also look at, I mean, we've been looking into AI measurements of social discourse to see if the reference to particular markets or the market at large skews one way or the other. We look at the headline quality, and that can be a little bit difficult. Even AI, as far as it's come, is not great at looking at the insinuation of it being risk on or risk off, much less its level of influence. And ultimately, I think price is probably the best measure of anything, you know, when it comes to markets. But it's something that I think every trader, investor needs to understand and needs to have a perspective on. I think it is incredibly important, and it will dictate the core sense of what kind of market you're dealing with and how to approach it. I think it's incredibly, incredibly important. Anything you would add in those closing view for this theme, Matt?
The last thing I'd add is just sort of how you can apply it, not just measure it, but what it might mean for your trading, for your investing. I would say if you can identify with a degree of confidence that what type of environment we're in, that can obviously influence your bias, your directional bias. I've heard people say if their measures of risk appetite aren't green, aren't pointing upward, then they don't buy, or maybe they use a smaller position size when they're buying certain assets. And I'd also highlight it can maybe serve as a toggle between different trading strategies. I know this is something you talk a lot about, John, but what sort of market environment are we in? And risk appetite can help inform whether we're in more of a trending market, more of a range-bound market, or a market that's ripe for a breakout. Each of those might have different types of strategies that you use. So by measuring that, having an understanding of risk appetite, you can be more likely to apply the appropriate one for that environment. And that, for me, is where the rubber really hits the road with this whole topic. So just to make sure we're not talking, you know, in generalities, that we want to try to make it at least somewhat actionable for listeners. So hopefully that helps you guys. And if you have any questions, definitely feel free to reach out through the comments.
Perfectly said. Thanks for tuning into the Trading Global Macro Podcast from StoneX. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. I'm John Kicklighter.
And I'm Matt Weller. Join us again next week for more insights into the trends and events shaping the world's financial markets. Thank you.